Now, around the world, it has to be said, leagues everywhere are panicking from COVID. The EPL is pushing on despite having 10 games postponed in the last month. The NBA is postponing games. The NFL is playing games today, trying to catch up from the weekend as well. And luckily for the AFL, I suppose, it's Christmas time, so they're not playing games, but that doesn't mean they're not affected. At least 10 Sydney players have tested positive for COVID-19 over the weekend. It's the biggest outbreak ever recorded for the sport after 2 years of struggling through this. And it comes off the back of, I guess, New South Wales was recording 3,000-plus cases up to 8 p.m. last night. So this is inevitable. And to discuss it, a man who probably almost certainly has had COVID at least once, 197 gamer for the Swans, Ty Kennelly, Hall of Famer, joins us ahead of a long lunch where he's definitely not going to be wearing a mask, probably. Tiger, how are you keeping, mate?
I'm very good, Will. I just put down my second beer to spend 10 minutes talking to you, so I hope you really do appreciate this and the listeners appreciate an Irishman putting a drink down.
Oh, well, you don't have to put it down, mate. You know, we can have breaks and stuff so you can stay hydrated. I wouldn't want you to dry out at any point. But big news from the club, mate. Big news. How disruptive is this? Obviously, couldn't come at a better time. Obviously, they all tested negative before their final training session on the 15th, and then I come back till the 6th, so it probably doesn't affect them too much. But it does. It doesn't bode well, I suppose, for the future.
No, it doesn't. Look, the last training session was on Wednesday, and all the players tested negative, you know, and a couple of players got tested on Friday again, and they came back positive. And having talked to a few of the players, they're actually quite sick. There's a couple of them were quite sick, which is probably the scary part of it, because you're hearing it's not that bad and all this. And what I mean by sick is actually, you know, they've got no energy and they're coughing. So that's probably the scary part of it. You know, the best part of it, obviously, is that it's not in competition. Most of the players had left and gone home, back to their families and whatnot. But it's just it kind of the realization of that it's not a flu. You know, we kind of get a bit comfortable with it, and then you understand, well, there's really fit, healthy men, and they're actually struggling with lack of energy. You know, so it's a bit of a wake up call for everyone and the competition. And as we're seeing, and you just said, Will, you know, around the world, there's competition, there's games being moved all around. I've no doubt it's going to affect us going forward in the competition as far as games and what's happening with the scheduling of games. And look, if anything we've learned over the past 2 years is about being flexible and being able to adjust with what's thrown at you. And as a competition and I suppose as a sporting nation, the whole country's been able to adjust to and the expectations of what's put on players now. You know, if you said to a player, Will, 2 years ago, that you were going to fly into Adelaide or WA or Melbourne the morning of a game, play the game, and you know, arrive 2 hours before you play, get to the ground and get on the bus and go back to Sydney, you'd say, no chance. Where's the AFL Players Association? Where's my union? This is not happening. You know, and the players are showing that they can adjust. It also shows, I suppose, that we were a bit precious back in my day, you know, when we travel and we'd be there for 2 days and get a couple of days of massages in Adelaide and whatnot, you know, just to help us relax and prepare.
Yeah, it's funny how things change and how quickly they do. And the AFL obviously keen to push on regardless. But have you what's your mark for the AFL in terms of how they have handled this over the last couple of years? Obviously, you know, Gillon McLachlan can say, you know, we're going to go ahead no matter what. But then you know that next week he's going to say, yeah, oh, yeah, we're going to have to do it this way or that way and something will change. How agile have the AFL been and how much faith do you have that they're going to get it right moving forward as these things change?
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, I think that a lot of it initially was on the fly. You know, everyone's trying to figure out what to do, how to do it, and you know, you analyse and you look back on the decisions because in hindsight we've got the luxury of looking back. But at the time when it happened 18 months ago, no one knew what was going on. You know, stopped the competition as a whole for 2 months, and then obviously we saw the NRL and they made the decision and the bold decision. They were like, this is the day that's starting, and they got the run, they got the jump on the AFL as far as actual return to play. But the biggest issue and the difference between the league and AFL, which we always want to compare, is the fact that it's the different amount of borders that are involved in the game as far as WASA. You know, the major border, obviously, in rugby league is you know, New South Wales and Queensland. And, you know, you relocate New Zealand, which helps the competition. So very, very challenging. I'm very comfortable with the way they've actually handled it as a competition. You know, to be able to go and play two grand finals in two different states in the past two years has been exciting for the game and exciting for those states. You know, who knows, we might get a grand final in Sydney next year. But certainly very comfortable as far as what they're putting in place. The protocols involved in each club is out of control, you know, and look, they're doing it for the betterment of the players and for the competition. Because, and I think the players and the staff involved in in AFL understand, Will, you know, look, this is what you're going to have to do if you want to keep your job and your livelihood is at stake. If you don't want to get a test every 48 hours, well, you know what? Or you don't want to get vaccinated. And the fact that the AFL have come out and said, we're mandating it that every player and staff in the competition have to get vaccinated. And we've seen in other codes, they haven't done that thus far.
At what point do you just think, you know what, I'm heading out to the game. I've got 197 games. I'll just pack the jersey just in case there's a COVID scare and they lose every single person and Tiger gets back on the pitch.
You love saying 197 games to me. It still pisses me off that you say that. I know it's early in one duty, I'm into my second beer, but can you just say I was a 200 game player?
You know what, you haven't played 200 games. I haven't played 200 games. We're the same, you and me. Okay, we're on the same level. Both still to play 200 games. Where are the Swannies at? Where are the Swannies at for 2022? Obviously, big rebound last season. Was no good in 2019, and then suddenly pumped themselves up to six, fell to GWS by a point, still recovering from that. But how are the Swans shaping up?
Yeah, slowly building. There's about 10, you know, under 22, 23-year-olds that they've played a lot of football together now over the past 2 to 3 years. You know, so there's a block of players there that are ready to take the game by the scruff of the neck in the competition. You know, extremely disappointing, obviously, the way the season finished last year. But, you know, they were in a roll last year, 6, 7, 8 games in a row. You know, it looked like the whole thing was coming together. And this is what happens in finals. You know, you learn the hard way. Often you get a result like they did against the Giants where they're really well over in the last quarter. And it really does hurt, obviously, playing against your cross-town rivals. But I think they're in a very healthy position. You know, everyone's going to be looking forward to seeing Buddy trying to kick his 1,000 goals in the first 2 weeks of the season, 2 home games. You know, everything's looking up for the Swans. And look, I think as far as teams this time of the year, you just got to try and stay healthy. You know, everyone will say, how are you going? How's pre-season going? And the throat line is, yeah, everything's flying, we're going well, but you haven't played a game. You know, you've played no one, so you're only playing against yourselves. But it's an exciting time for the football club with so much youth, and we saw that last year with the young players in the competition and the amount of rising star nominations the club had. You know, the Chad Warners and Earl Goulding and Justin McInerney and these young kids that really taking the game and really showing that, you know what, it doesn't matter what age you are, I've come to play and offer a value to the Swans and to the AFL, which is quite exciting for the competition, certainly for Swans and Swans fans.
How do they manage, Bud? Because as you say, there's so much youth coming through, which is fantastic. He's the elder statesman of the side. He's 35 years of age, 5 goals shy of the 1,000 goals. How does John Longmire manage him through this season? Because he's on old legs now, is Buddy.
Yeah, I thought they managed him really well last year. You know, if they picked and choose their games, you know, as far as when and where he was going to play and give him a lot of recovery time. The issue for Bud is, you know, he's come back to train in the preseason and he's been flying. And he loves football so much. He just really engrosses himself in the game and he loves training and loves being around the boys. And the biggest challenge for the club right now is in December is trying to slow the man down. You know, you don't want him to get these soft tissue injuries that he's had over the past couple of years, which they seem to have got on top of as a medical team, you know. But you just want to get him to the line. A player like Buddy Franklin, and what I mean is you just want to get him to round one. And, you know, even if he's just 80% physically fit, but he's healthy, that's okay. You just want to get a man like that with that talent and competitiveness and just raw ability. It's staggering to watch what he can do even at his age right now. And it's so exciting. Like, he's still one of the biggest draw cards in the game at his age. You know, people go to watch Buddy Franklin and Dusty Martin and these types. And, you know, when he's not named in a game, it's, you know, you kind of go, you miss out on watching what he can do even at his age. So a lot of it's just trying to get Buddy to the line and you know, just start round one, hopefully. And, you know, fingers crossed he gets it one of the 2 games at home in Sydney.
No, just to round this off, mate, I really want to ask you about your charity work. I know you're involved in a few different ones, and you went for a walk, correct me if I'm mistaken, from Palm Beach to Cronulla, is that correct? And tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, I started with a men's health kind of movement, really. It was about, you know, a couple of my mates hadn't been struggling, and, you know, I just started gathering guys down at Maroubra and Wednesday mornings, and I have, I was organising some exercise, and they started with a couple of mates, and now we've got about 100 blokes that do it on Wednesday mornings, and I was trying up a couple of challenges, and the walk was one of them, and you know, looking for the name of the group is WNO when no one's watching, and it's kind of about men trying to live your life as if no one's watching, you know, and dropping your body armour, and you know, the toxic masculinity, that what it takes or what it means to be a man is just BS, you know. It's you want men to try and be better, and you be better men, you're going to be a better husband, better mate, better father, and inevitably, you know, you're going to enjoy your life better, and that's kind of what we've started, and I started about 9 months ago, and it's starting to grow, and it's quite exciting. Well, you know, I think when I look at my own, I've got two young boys, and, you know, I want to raise them a bit different the way I was raised, and it's okay to cry, and it's okay to not be okay, basically, but it's okay, you know, to drop your body armor and live your life as if no one's watching, and hence that's the name, and hence why we walked, you know, 60K for men's health, and, you know, this group's actually we've created, it's quite exciting. We've raised over 50,000 in a few months, and we've created a soccer team, you know, we've created a few events, and it's quite exciting, and it's something that I'm very proud of, actually.
Is there somewhere people can connect with that really quickly?
Yeah, you can jump online. We're on Instagram, WNO. It's on Twitter. So it's quite exciting. We're just putting a website together. So thanks for that, Will.
Outstanding. Thanks very much, Tiger. Look, go back. Make sure no one has drunk any of your beer. Get into it. Have a great long lunch. And thanks for talking to us. Enjoy your Christmas, mate.
No problem. You too, buddy. Anytime, Will.